I'm going back to you.
Welcome to Utah Famous, a podcast about the people, places, and history that make Utah so unexpectedly awesome. I'm Sarah. I'm a Utah transplant with Canadian roots.
I'm Jordan, and I'm a Beehive State native.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
So, a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
you briefly mentioned, I think I hijacked it with my New York trip nonsense.
Well, it was great.
But how was your cruise?
My cruise was really fun.
Oh.
It was our first one.
Okay.
And we went on a Royal cruise. We went on their Allure ship, and it's like their biggest ship.
Whoa.
And it was kind of crazy because we'd pull up to like a port and we would be like dwarf all the other ships.
That's crazy.
I was super nervous about it because I have seen Titanic and I have never been on a cruise or to the Caribbean, and I was worried about being
seasick. There are no
seasick.
Icebergs in the Caribbean.
There's no
Jordan.
Icebergs. At least if we got in the water, it'd be semi-warmer.
Right. Friendly dolphins.
Yeah.
Save you.
Yeah, we'd be totally fine.
Yes.
So it was really good. We left the boys at home. We
nice.
Went with my extended family, and I took my 4-year-old daughter, and she loved it. She took to the cruise life a little too well. She was asking. As soon as she woke up, she wanted soft served ice cream, and she
like
wanted
all
to be
you
in the
can
pool.
Eat.
Yeah, it was so funny, but it was great.
Nice,
we had a lot of fun. I think I was really in tune to the ship moving because I had never been on one before, and
right.
I like and you could still feel like for how big that ship was, you could still feel it, and it wasn't like. I mean, it was okay. I never felt sick, but it was weird. It was a little unnerving.
Yes.
And like one night they had a ventriloquist and he did a great job, but I was watching the curtains above him and they were like kind of moving.
Yeah.
And I could feel it too. And then one night they did Mamma Mia and
I love Mamma Mia.
It was so great. It was really good. I was nervous that like, you know, the production quality would
you were like,
be.
Oh, these are the people who can't make it on Broadway.
Yeah. It was, they all did so well.
Nice.
And it just had beautiful voices. And I thought the actors and the people that were in all the productions were like on the boat with you the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
But they actually like just like get on at a port and they're on the boat for 2 nights and then they get off at the next port and then the next entertainer comes on, which makes so much sense. But I thought they were just like staff like putting on
like
a show.
They're down
but
below.
but they were like production companies or whatever, I guess,
yeah.
that contract their shows out to Royal, I'm assuming. I'm not totally sure how it
probably.
Works, but it just seemed like a cool, or it was super well done. But anyway, when in Mamma Mia, there's a part where everyone freezes and one person is singing and she's kind of like remembering the past and whatever.
Right.
They're all frozen, but they're like rocking with the ship a little bit, which I thought was,
that's
was funny.
Awesome.
But it took a like 2 days to stop feeling like I was on a ship, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, to get used to it.
Yeah, if I was sitting on the couch, I was like, I feel like I'm rocking still, you know, which was kind of, but I would love to go on a Disney cruise. I'd love to go
Me
on a
too.
Smaller cruise, but I'm a little nervous about like the waves and how bumpy it would be.
Yeah, I would definitely do a Disney cruise.
You've been to the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Before.
I did a Caribbean cruise years ago.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
I think I would go to different locations. Like, I would like to do an Alaskan cruise.
Yeah.
Or I always see those, whenever you watch Downton Abbey, there are always these commercials for, like, river cruises in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That would be
amazing. I would
totally
do a river cruise in Europe.
Yes, for sure.
When I'm old. I feel like it's only old people, but
yeah.
Maybe I'd crash it.
No. I think that would be fun. I really liked that Royal had, like, a good mix of kids and adults.
Right.
So you didn't feel like you were, like, crashing everyone's party. Like, they were used to having kids around, but then you weren't just on like a kid's cruise either.
Yeah.
So.
Which Disney cruise, I'm a little worried. It's just a kids cruise, but I do love Disney land and stuff like that. So maybe that would just be fun.
I think they have enough areas of like adults only or whatever.
And like they'll watch your kids for a while and you guys can go do whatever. So,
but yeah, it was crazy just like knowing that there were 6,000 people on that ship.
I know.
And I don't know if that was like only customers or if that included like the staff and everything.
Right.
But anyway, it's just so many people.
That's a lot of people on one boat.
Crazy. It's crazy that, and it didn't feel too crowded either. Like getting on and off the ship was kind of a little crowded, but it wasn't that bad. But then like being on the ship, like there were areas, you know, sometimes the pool would be a little bit crowded, but you're still pretty spread out for minutes. It's wild. But
where did you leave from?
We left from Fort Lauderdale, and then we went to their private island, which was like my favorite part.
Whoa.
It's called Coco Cay. It was great. They have pools and stuff, which I noticed most pools in the Caribbean aren't heated because they probably don't need to be.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a little bit cold because it's winter, so it was like the pools were pretty cold, but the ocean was, I'd never been in like a warm ocean before, so the ocean was like, it still took a second to get used to, but like way warmer than, you know, California.
Oh yeah,
it was like, but it was like a full like 7 day long cruise.
Yes.
So it was a little, it's a little sad when it was over, but it was also, I was ready to come home.
Get me home.
Ready to come
home. To the cold.
Yeah, to the cold, to the holidays, all of that. So anyway,
it was
great. And it actually kind of was putting me in the mood for this episode.
Good.
Because even though there weren't really thrill rides on it, I was, you know, there's the arcades and there's water slides on the island and whatnot. And so, anyway.
All right. So this week.
Yeah. I'm going back. I can't get enough. I didn't know I was so in love with this place, but apparently it's the...
I have to go for Lagoon.
Back. Yeah. We're talking about Lagoon again.
Again.
I realized as I was doing the episode, I mean, again, there's so much more that I'm going to miss this time, too. But
no, there's just so much.
There's so much, but there's so much history in Pioneer Village.
Oh, cool.
And like I told you, if I could redo Lagoon, I would make it all Pioneer Village.
Yes, you did say that.
And like the Midway could be turn of the century, but then everything else would be Pioneer.
Yeah.
Western themed. And so I wanted to go dive into Pioneer Village because I don't really know the history, or I didn't know the history.
Okay.
And there's a lot of it.
Oh boy. Let's do it.
So all of the buildings, except for maybe one, it seems like all the buildings are original Pioneer houses that they have moved.
Oh.
So they are like original to different areas in Utah, which I don't know how you move a log cabin. They're small. They're small log cabins.
Right.
But even still.
Do you take it apart and then reassemble?
I assume that.
Do you put it on one of those wide load?
Yeah.
And on the 15 and driving in?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that I noticed is like sometimes these buildings had already been moved a couple times in different towns.
Okay.
And then they finally got moved to Lagoon. So it's just, they've been around. They've been all over Utah, but it's been a weird, I didn't know how all that worked. I still don't really know. One of the buildings is a stone chapel.
Oh.
And so they did have to take that apart, like stone by stone, and reassemble it. I know that, but I'm not sure about all the log cabins. So.
Wow.
Anyway, first of all, Pioneer Village started in East Mill Creek. It did not start.
What?
In
Farmington?
It didn't start in Farmington. It didn't start at This Is the Place Heritage Park or anything like that. It started in East Mill Creek by Horace and Ethel Sorensen, which Horace and Ethel, is that the, those are the cutest
Ethel,
names.
That is adorable.
So they owned a store called Southeast Furniture in Sugar House, and they just began collecting discarded household items. So they started collecting the items in like 1936, and it was kind of before antiques were antiques. You know, people just got rid of old stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't really, they weren't like antique shops where people were, you know.
Yeah.
It was
maybe just like, for lack of a better term, a junk shop.
Yeah. It was just, So they were collecting these things that people were like, this is junk, you know.
Yeah.
And they slowly got more and more pieces. It was a lot of chairs and china and pie safes. I don't know what a pie safe
pie
is.
Pie safes?
It's necessary because you can't leave a pie
out. You better lock those pies up.
I don't know what that is.
Interesting.
Musical instruments, that sort of thing. But then it started moving into buildings and log houses.
Wow.
and a stone church, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
So it started small and slowly grew and grew and grew. Pioneer Village originally sat on 2.5 acres that Horace and Ethel owned. And like I said, in East Mill Creek. So it's just south of Sugar House. So
okay.
It was like south Salt of Lake. Sugar House. Okay. So Orson Wright, the former national president of the Sons of the Utah Pioneers, I'm not sure if they purchased it from Horace and Ethel, but he basically, they kind of took over their little pioneer village, and they had their offices on the site, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So the main problem was they wanted, it was an attraction. They wanted people to come visit, but the location was kind of hidden. It wasn't close to Temple Square. It wasn't by This Is the Place Monument. It's kind of its own thing. And slowly crowds just stopped coming. It just wasn't convenient. So they thought about moving the village to This Is the Place Monument, which is now This Is the Place This Is the Place Heritage Park.
Right. Yes.
But the monument owners, they were interested, but they wanted to keep some of it and they wanted to sell some of it. And Wright was very like, no, we want to make sure that everything gets stayed together. We don't want it to be split up. And so Boyd Jensen called up Orson Wright, and he was the lagoon's general manager. And he and Peter Freed, which we talked a lot about in the first episode, thought to bring Pioneer Village to Lagoon, and just they had an area and they thought it would be a good fit there, and they also wanted to keep it all together. So after about 2 years of negotiation, Lagoon bought the Pioneer Village from the Sons of the Utah Pioneers, which funded their headquarters that you now see at the base of Parley's Canyon.
Oh,
so there's
yes.
that building kind of on the yeah. on the edge.
Yep.
And so it was just kind of good all around. So the money that Lagoon used to purchase it went to that.
Cool.
And now they have a new headquarters, and then all of the Pioneer Village got to stay together, and
everyone's happy.
And everyone's so happy. So now there's a memorial plaque near the Central Plaza, and it says Horace A. Sorensen and his wife, Ethel Melville Sorensen. It thanks them for their selfless devotion, personal generosity, imagination, and foresight, and their dream of a living museum. These two people have made the history of Utah and her people a visual reality for present and future generations. So they're
that's
definitely
cool.
honored there for starting the whole collection.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And there's like a rock chapel that I talked about. There's a schoolhouse, and it has lessons that would have been used in like 1872, it says.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an impressive like firearm collection and tokens. And there's also a concrete jail, which I need to go back. I don't remember seeing this. So this concrete jail was actually used in Lagoon's early days for kids
bad kids.
Yep. For kids that were being a little rowdy.
Wow.
And I guess I shouldn't say kids because could be anyone, but people that might be drunk or disorderly or fighting, they would put them in this jail. And there were times where they were arrested on a Friday and they weren't released until Monday, when they could actually
they
could go to court and like actually have. So they would hold them.
So it was like kind of a working jail?
It was like it was a working jail. And I don't think it was started when Lagoon was built. It wasn't like a pioneer jail.
Okay, so they built it for the park.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is old. It didn't say when it was built, but it is old.
That is funny.
So it's still there. There's a print shop. There's an ice cream shop, an apothecary museum, a railroad building, a carriage house, which I said is kind of creepy if you go in at night.
Oh,
it's just
nice.
All these empty carriages. And there's a dentist office, and that has like a whole bunch of little dentist seats, like 7 seats or something. And has all the little tools, and can you
that
imagine?
That could also be creepy.
It's so creepy. Can you imagine going to a dentist back then?
No.
Like, no.
I can't imagine doing just about everything back then.
I don't know how humans survived.
Yeah. Well,
I
we know better.
Survived. Yeah.
They didn't know better.
Yeah, that's true. We know how good it is.
That's why we can't go back.
So most of the buildings, they're from all over. The The Rock Chapel was from Rockport, which is near Colville, which I didn't know where that was. It is 40 miles east of Salt Lake.
Oh, so, wow. They really brought that in.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't even know if I've ever been in that area. But I guess much of the area is actually now under Echo Reservoir. So, yeah. So, they moved some of those buildings.
Interesting. Yes.
Let's see. Other buildings came from Nephi and Charleston. I'm not sure where that is in Utah, and Davis County. So, Wright was very fond of the chapel. Uh-huh. And that was the one that was taken apart stone by stone and put together just as how it was in Colville. And the late LDS church president, Spencer W. Kimball, fell in love with it, and he would play the organ inside.
Oh, sometimes. Interesting.
So that's interesting.
Does it still have an organ?
I don't know if it does. And actually, I was trying to picture it when I was there, because I remember seeing a rock building that's like near the entrance, but it was like a quilting museum.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't go inside, unfortunately, but yeah. I'm assuming the organ would still be there, because I don't know where they would have moved it. And yeah. I know Farmington does have a rock church that's super old, that's pioneer times, that's really cool. Unless it was moved to there, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a schoolhouse, and it was built in 1870, and that one is from Rockport. Also, it has like a bell on the top, and it's just like an 18 foot by 20 foot cabin. And this is the one that had been moved a couple times, but it's still there. And they'll put like a creepy teacher during Halloween, like a mannequin on the front, and like some dolls like on the sitting at desks.
No,
really, so great. I love it. Okay, let's see. So they used to have stagecoach rides, and I don't remember this. They did them up until like 2009, but I don't remember seeing them or anything, which is such a bummer, because it was operated by the Thurston family, and they owned Clydesdale horses.
Oh, wow.
So Glenn and his son Dale drove the horses and were assisted by their wives. They were both members of the Clydesdale Breeders of the USA, and Dale served on the board of trustees, so their horses were used in the Budweiser commercials.
They're Budweiser horses?
Yes. So, they would be purchased. So they wouldn't come back after they had their Hollywood debut.
Right.
Anheuser and Busch, not sure what company that is, but they would purchase the Clydesdale from the Thurstons for their Budweiser commercials.
Yeah, and Anheuser Busch.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, like, you know.
They own Budweiser.
Okay. Anheuser-Busch. Okay.
Yep.
There we go. So you would board the stagecoach in front of the Pony Express Museum, which is now a Swig restaurant. And I don't think this Pony Express Museum, it didn't seem like it was, they built it for.
Okay.
It wasn't like.
It wasn't legit, which we should do an episode on the Pony Express.
Yeah.
At some point. So.
Absolutely. That's a huge.
It's a legit Utah thing.
Yeah. So it would go through, the stagecoach would travel behind the governor's barn, cross Farmington Creek, and pass through a wooded area, passing deer and buffalo. When it reached Pioneer Pavilion, it crossed the creek again and made its way down Main Street, and then it returned to the Pony Express Museum. Then once Lagoon built Rattlesnake Rapids, which is like their ride, kind of like Grizzly River Run.
You get wet, but it's not like you're in swimsuits or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's like, you can get really wet sometimes, but it's a pretty fun ride. I remember when that opened thinking it was so cool.
Yeah.
Once that was built, it kind of cut the stagecoach ride pretty like short. So they ended up taking that. They did it for a couple more years, but then they finally retired.
Okay.
And like I said, they stopped running that in 2009. You can still see the stagecoach behind the train museum if you want to go see.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go see it. Okay, one of the other things I thought was interesting was the old street clock, which was located in 1977. They put it in, but it was from Main Street in Salt Lake. And it was kind of like a super, like a status symbol back then, because these clocks were made in like Europe. And so it's like a fancy street if you had one of these.
Yeah, kind clocks. Of like in the middle of the street type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and so eventually Salt Lake had a couple of them. Throughout the 1800s, street clocks were manufactured in the eastern states and were costly to ship, making it a sign of prestige in the west.
Oh, nice.
And by the turn of the century, street clocks could be found up and down Utah or Salt Lake's main street. The last one from the 19th century still operating in Salt Lake is the old Zion's Bank clock at Main Street and 100 South. So it's still there.
Oh, wow.
And then in the early days, water diverted from City Creek went underground, and that water had a water wheel that powered the clocks.
Oh, wow.
Is that wild?
That is crazy.
And so anyway, the clock that there, I think I've seen it. I guess there's no like plaque or anything around it.
Okay.
But it's just, that's where it came from. It came from Main Street. And I think they had to restore it. I think it was pretty, broken and old. And they fixed it. But anyway, that's kind of another cool thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's kind of a really quick history of Pioneer Village. There's a lot of each cabin, you know, has its own little story from a family somewhere in.
Are they true stories or did they just make them up?
They seem to be true, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They could be something. It's not like this. This house is from a prominent person from Utah. It's just like, I don't know how they chose which ones they brought in. I mean, they all of them have, you know, interesting stories of just like, this guy moved here. Yeah, this guy moved here and built them because they all built them themselves.
Right.
He built it himself and he lived here with his wife until this time and da da da. But I don't know why. I don't know if it was built really well and it was standing long enough and someone needed to move it, or why they were all chosen. Because anyway, there were a couple things that people speculated were owned by Brigham Young, not necessarily a cabin, but like, you know, different other artifacts.
Oh, okay.
But it's a little bit speculation. Yeah. So anyway, but there's kind of interesting. It's just, like I said, it's super cool. The collection is huge, and you forget because, you know, you're a lagoon. You're going to, like, ride rides. But if you walk down and look in all the shops, it's really crazy how much they have there. And like I said, I think it would be cool if they kind of spread it around and did it all through Lagoon and really kind of spiffed up the theming a little bit.
A little bit more on brand.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Just cohesive.
Yeah.
And matching.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the animals. There's a little bit of controversy about the animals at Lagoon. I did ride this is not in Pioneer Village.
Okay.
But there is a train that goes through that you can jump on. And you kind of go back behind the lagoon, the original water lagoon, which they named it after. You go kind of behind it and you see all these animals in these cages, but you don't see you can't really see the animals anywhere else. You have to be on the train. There's a couple places where you can see some of the, like, I don't know, like antelope type animals.
Yeah.
But, like, the real exotic ones, you have to be on the train, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So unless you know that, you wouldn't even think to go on the train.
Yeah.
And then you're on the train and they are just in kind of these chain link cement
cages,
and they're not huge.
Yeah.
And they have a couple toys, but not really. It's kind of sad. It's not ideal. I always thought it was sad. And I guess a couple years ago there was a video someone took of a lion that just was distressed, and it was just in this tiny little cage. And so there's been a lot of people trying to get them to, you know, release the animals.
Yeah, like relocate.
Take them to a zoo and close that part down. And it is weird that they even have it.
Yeah, and it's not a huge attraction.
They don't advertise it.
So it's like, why don't you just find them better places to live?
Yeah, it's just on this quick ride. You know, Lagoon has made statements like, we have, you know, vets and they're all taken care of and everything's fine. But it seems cruel.
And a little unnecessary.
Super unnecessary. And also, like, the tigers and stuff that they have, like, we have a really great zoo.
Yes.
I don't know how it works if you can donate them, but it would be great to see them other than 15 seconds as you go by on a train.
Exactly.
It'd be nice to actually stop and see them in a more natural environment and be able to really admire them instead of just like this quick little run around.
And then Lagoon wouldn't have to worry about animals that maybe people will see, or hire vets and all that kind of stuff. It just seems interesting.
It seems interesting. I don't know why it can't. I don't know how expensive it is to house those. And also, how old are they? Are they breeding them and keeping? Yeah. I don't know the history of that. But it is kind of, it is super weird. And they, I mean, they do have like bison. They have, I mean, they have animals that I don't even know what they are.
Let the bison go on Antelope Island.
Yeah, take them back home. Let them go. Definitely,
that's more complicated than we are.
I have no idea about it,
but it does seem a little odd for Lagoon to have animals, period.
Super. I'm sure we could do a whole episode of how that all started. I don't even know why they have them or when they got there.
Yeah, that actually would be interesting.
So, but hopefully they will figure that out and not do that anymore. It's sad.
I know. A little weird.
It's sad and it doesn't match. And again, it's like they have this like semi zoo and then they have like this pioneer village and then they have this water park and then they have like the midway section and then they have like the samurai, which is like an Asian themed ride, and then they have like a Hawaiian stand that sells like, I don't know, Hawaiian food.
Yeah, it's like all over the place.
They're trying to appeal to a lot of
everybody.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
So they need to bring it back.
They need a little more cohesiveness.
Yeah. Bring it back. Make it Utah themed.
Yeah. Which is okay. That works. We've seen other theme parks.
Yeah.
You know, on a theme.
Yeah.
And it works.
I think it'd be cool. And the history is just so cool and so deep invested in like pioneer times, you know, the carousel is one of the oldest carousels.
Yes.
And all of that. So I think it'd be good.
Play up on that. That would be cool.
Just embrace it.
Yes.
So anyway, thank you for letting me go back to Lagoon.
Yes.
I know everyone was dying to know about Pioneer Village.
We were on the edge of our seat.
But there was so much to cover last time.
Yes. And I think we could do another part.
Yeah.
After we did our episode, I was like, oh, yeah, the Ferris wheel and the Wild Mouse and all these other rides that more brave people ride than me.
But you watch them when you're there.
Yeah, from afar.
What do you... Oh, and we asked a couple of our listeners what their favorite attractions were, and it seemed like the Samurai, which I used to love.
What is the Samurai?
The Samurai is like... It's like a star, but like six points.
Okay.
There's like six people, I think, that can sit on each arm. This is so hard to explain.
But I can see it.
And it's like spinning and rotating and moving around. And so you're moving and all, you have the shoulder things on, you're going upside down and you're, but it, I really like it. You're not spinning. You don't get dizzy. I don't. It's not like you're spinning, but you're just moving in all these weird ways.
Yeah.
And then, it's fun. It's weird, but I liked it too. People like the swings. They're classic.
The swings are awesome. I love the swings.
One of my friends said she loves the log flume, which is by Pioneer Village.
Okay.
It's basically like Splash Mountain without all the animatronics and, you know, the theming. It's just like literally a log flume. And I've been on it before, but I always just kind of walked by it because it's kind of boring looking.
Yeah, it's simple.
But it is a fun ride, and I always forget about it, so.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot.
More than you think there is.
Yeah. So everyone, if you want to get a membership, you can buy them already for next season.
Yeah.
Put them in someone's stocking.
As soon as it gets warm.
Stocking stuffers.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's fun. I want to credit where I got a lot of my information from. Wikipedia, obviously. And then there was an article on the Deseret News called Escape to Another Time at Lagoon's Pioneer Village by Ray Boren. And it has a lot of information and great photos. So check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
And we're going to be taking the next few weeks off for the holidays.
For Christmas.
And we hope everyone has a great holiday, whatever you celebrate.
Yes.
If you celebrate.
Hopefully you get a couple days off of work and your work isn't stupid and makes you work a lot.
And they're nice.
And you get to hang out with family and friends.
Yep. Yeah. Well, everyone have a good holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
We will see you in the new year. Thanks for listening. If you would like to find us on Instagram, we are at Utah Famous. We have a Facebook page. You are welcome to join and chime in. We always love to hear from you. We're also on Twitter at Utah Famous Pod. And if you feel like dropping us a line, you can email us at utahfamous@gmail.com with comments or suggestions for upcoming episodes. We would love to hear suggestions for upcoming episodes. But yeah, thanks. Well, I'm going back to you.